From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As the Lord Jesus Christ approached the hour of His crucifixion, He took time to prepare His disciples for the time when He would no longer be with them physically. In several passages in the Gospel of John, Christ tells His sorrowing disciples that when He returned to heaven following His crucifixion and resurrection, He would send them a Comforter, a reference to the Holy Spirit. In the message entitled The Comforter, Dr. Cairns is explaining various ministries of the Holy Spirit to the people of God. First of all, He comforts God's suffering people. Then, the Holy Spirit is the Christian's helper, showing that the Spirit has taken Christ's place on earth as the Comforter and the soul's immediate point of contact with God. Before Dr. Cairns comes to the Word of God, here is the Reverend Colin Mercer, the new senior minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church. Today, Mr. Mercer addresses a subject which is a source of much controversy in our day, marriage and the Bible.
Same-sex marriages. Whether it's England, Northern Ireland, Canada, or the United States of America, the issue of same-sex marriages is rarely out of the news. Supporters of such arrangements cite the usual arguments of human rights, personal choice, the right to live as they please, and they have been extremely zealous in promoting their unscriptural lifestyle. Of course, the issue does not stop with the people directly involved. What is happening in many countries across the world is that Christian business owners are finding themselves in danger of breaking the law if they refuse to facilitate same-sex marriages. For example, hotel owners, photographers, printers, in fact, any kind of service provider may fall foul of the law if they do not extend their services to same-sex couples. It may well be that in the future, the same kind of law will be used against ministers of the gospel. There have been many times when the institution of marriage has had to be defended, and this is one such time. It's vitally important that we're not swept away with the practices and philosophies of men. What is needed to combat the departure from the Word of God is a call back to the Word of God. Sometimes a back to the Bible campaign is needed, and that's certainly the case with marriage. If we're going to address all of the various attacks upon this matter, let's get right down to foundational truths and consider marriage in a biblical light. When we do that, there are truths we must never lose sight of. What is the basis of marriage between one man and one woman? Where did marriage originate? Was it just a notion of our first parents? An idea they hit on in the Garden of Eden? Something they thought they would like to try? Not at all. If that was the case and marriage was just a man-made idea, then we could reject it without great consequence. But marriage is not man-made. It was ordained by God Himself. When the Lord finished the creation of the world and placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, He established two important things. One was the Sabbath day. One day in seven is a day of rest, and we should keep that. The second was marriage. He brought Eve to Adam, and they were joined as husband and wife. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 puts it like this, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And then in the same chapter, in verses 21 through to 24, we read these words, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This was the first wedding, and it was ordered by God Himself." That suggests, among other things, that God knows all about marriage. He set this institution in place. He was there. He ordered that a man would leave his father and mother and cleave on to his wife, and that they would become one flesh. This was God's will, one man with one woman, until they would be separated by death. Dr. Ian Brown of the Free Presbyterian Government and Morals Committee rightly notes, the only template God authorizes for a marriage union is that between one man and one woman. Back in the beginning of creation, when God declared, "It is not good that the man should be alone, I will make him an helpmeet for him," he did not create another man as a suitable partner for Adam. He made a woman and brought her to him. There's something very simple there. God's ordained arrangement for marriage is one man with one woman, dwelling together for life. It is God's plan that man and woman, husband and wife, should enter into a marriage built on fidelity, mutual duty, and respect. This law was not just for the Old Testament era. This divine arrangement of the marriage union was endorsed and emphasized by the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament also. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Mark chapter 10. But the scripture doesn't finish there. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." This is the basis for marriage. This is something we must keep in mind. No man has the right to dismantle, distort, or certainly destroy what God has ordained. Why is marriage so important? What are the reasons for marriage? The Westminster Confession of Faith plainly states marriage was ordained for the mutual help of husband and wife, for the increase of mankind with a legitimate issue, and of the church with a holy seed, and for preventing of uncleanness. These reasons are clearly set forth in Scripture. A husband and wife living together in mutual respect for each other, bearing and raising children within that marriage arrangement, and contributing to the welfare of each other as God has intended. Are there any benefits, blessings which flow from marriage as God has ordained? Solid marriages, marriages which follow God's ordained way, are for the benefit and blessing of society at large. Families make up the heart of communities, and well-ordered families make for well-ordered communities. Let's face this. Marriage between one man and one woman, as set forth by God, is under attack. Consequently, the family unit is under attack. Society is under attack. The church is under attack. We must therefore pray for a return to the old paths, and for grace and power to resist any deviation from those old paths.
Jesus calls us for the tumult of a life's wild, restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, "Praise and follow."
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Christian can have lastingly in a world beset with calamity and evil and sin is that which comes through the gospel. The only peace of heart he can get is that which God gives through the gospel. There's nothing more sad than to see a man who's saved not enjoying peace of heart and mind because he has lost the vision of Christ and filled his eyes with the vision of the world. There's no sadder thing than that. It is the special work of God the Holy Ghost to apply the gospel to the hearts of the people of God to give them comfort. And he does this in three ways. I'm only going to mention them. You can work them out in detail for yourself. He does so first by his presence. He dwells with us, Jesus says in John 16 and 7, by his presence. Secondly, he does it by his teaching, testifying of Christ. I don't want to go over old ground. I have preached on this a few times in recent months. But the Holy Spirit of God has as his chief work the revelation of Christ to the believer. And the more he teaches a believer the gospel, the more he imparts comfort to that believer. The more he enables a Christian to see Christ, the more he comforts his heart. The more he lets a believer understand what he has in Christ, then the more he gives comfort to his heart. So he comforts by his presence. He comforts by his teaching. He comforts by his acts. Constantly working in the believer, guiding and governing, stimulating, rebuking, arousing, and cheering the heart. This is the work of the Spirit of God. It is he who opens the heart to the Bible. It is he who opens the Bible to the heart. He is our comforter. Now let me say this to you today. In my experience, that every congregation I have ever addressed has had in it people far more than you would imagine whose hearts are weighed down with trouble, weighed down with worry, weighed down with the concerns of this life. Sometimes peace has been taken from the mind because there is no assurance of God's love and God's salvation. With one of these things or another, there are people in this meeting today and their hearts are made heavy. Other people can come along and they can simply pat you on the back and say, don't worry. And you know, if you're going through some deep waters, for some character to come along and tell you, don't worry, is a very hard thing to take. For it's simply dismissing you, and it's simply saying, I'm not feeling what you're feeling. I can't understand what you're feeling. And furthermore, I don't really have much time to try. Don't worry. My friend, if you are among the heavy-hearted, if you're among those whose minds and souls are troubled today, let me tell you that there is a comforter. There is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, whose a special work it is to come and bring ease in the midst of tension, to bring enjoyment in the midst even of calamity. And it is the enjoyment of Jesus Christ. Peter wrote those seemingly contradictory words in 1 Peter chapter 1, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, ye are in heaviness. The word heaviness speaks of intense mental depression. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. What a statement! You greatly rejoice, and yet you are in great heaviness and depression of mind. How can those two things go together? My friend, God's people do go through the heavy times. They do go through the times of calamity. They do go through the times when their sky is darkened and the sunlight seems to be obliterated. They do have the times when all hell is let loose against them and it seems there is no help for their soul. But in those very times, God the Holy Spirit fills their heart with Christ. God the Holy Spirit reminds them of the immutability of God's love in Christ, of the unchangeable power of the atoning blood of Christ. He reminds them of their acceptance by God's grace in Christ. He points them to the irreversible act of God in justifying their souls and imputing to them the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He points them to glory and says there is a book there and your name is inscribed in the Lamb's book of life. And in these things God's people rejoice. Oh, they don't like suffering any more than any other child of Adam. Their flesh does not react any differently to the searing pain of this world's distresses. But in the midst of the heaviness and the mental oppression and the attack of the devil, there is under their feet an immutable rock, the rock of ages, and there is within their breast an immutable person, the Blessed Comforter himself, whose ever-present ministry it is to point them Christward and to remind them of the things that cannot change. God the Holy Spirit, as the Paraclete, first of all, does the work of the Comforter. The second work of the Holy Spirit as the Paraclete is the Christian's Helper. This comes out very clearly. In the words of the Lord Jesus, he promised another comforter. Another comforter. There are two possible words that could be translated another here. One of them means another of a different kind. But the one that's used by the Gospel of John means another of the same. Another of the same kind. In other words, the Holy Spirit takes the very place of Jesus Christ here on earth. He's the Vicar of Christ. That's why I detest the claim of the Pope of Rome to be the Vicar of Christ, because that is the office and that is the title that belongs exclusively to God the Holy Spirit. It is a title of deity, and for any man to take it is the height of blasphemy. The Holy Spirit is to God's people on earth what the Lord Jesus was during his earthly sojourn to his disciples. Everything that Jesus was in the flesh to his disciples on earth, the Holy Spirit is now to God's people as they walk this veil of tears in fellowship with Christ. Now, let that sink in for a minute. What does it tell you? First of all, it tells you that the Holy Spirit is our immediate point of contact with God. The Holy Spirit is our immediate point of contact with God. That's what Christ was on earth. He was God with them. The Holy Spirit is God, and he is with us and in us, and he is our point of contact with deity. Now, Christianity is a vital religion. It's a religion of life. It's more than a set of theological propositions. Now, don't get me wrong. The neo-Orthodox crowd want to do away with theological propositions altogether, and that makes them heretics and even heathens, idolaters of the worst kind. You cannot have Christianity without the theological propositions of the Word of God. But you know, there are many people who are very orthodox in their propositions. These propositions, as I've said, are very necessary. But these people have got these propositions, and they have got them, as it were, in stone. And they're as dead as something cast in stone. They are right in their theology. They're dead right in their theology. Now, I love theological orthodoxy, and I would seek to promote the strictest theological orthodoxy. But let me say this, my friend. There are many, and simply by formulating their theological propositions, they feel that they have grasped Christianity, and they haven't. You don't meet God at the end of a theological proposition. All the proposition may be true, but you meet God by the dynamic activity of the person of the Holy Ghost.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.